The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Welcome back. It's the end of the week. It's the end, in fact, of the last week of January, the year 2014. It is the 31st, the last day of the month. It's a birthday today. Now, ordinarily, I ignore birthdays, but this one, I don't. This is the birth date of Mario Lanza, and I hope all of you who may know him will enjoy this next 2 hours, and for goodness sakes, if you don't know him, give a listen, because I think you're going to hear something that you have never heard before. This is a man who has been gone since 1959, but to this day, YouTube videos continue to be posted. Creative videos showing photographs and overlays of videos, appearances. There are clips from some of his films. It's remarkable that someone who has been gone this long, although it seems like only yesterday to some, and it seems like it never happened to most who listen to him, because he lives in music on CDs and other formats as well. Mario Lanza was, I once said, a freak of nature. He is an aberration. He was born with a physical gift that tied together with an emotional gift and passion unmatched by any other singer I have ever heard. Created sound which almost transcends any normal experience. In fact, I've referred to it as really otherworldly in some ways, because it has just never been equaled, and it never will be, because the combination within that man's body and his soul and his mind cannot be duplicated. Even if they cloned him, it wouldn't be the same, because the life experience would not be there. He has had a number of books, of course, written about him, as you may expect. Derek Mannering is the most remarkable writer, I think, who has certainly put forth a book to date. In many ways, they're all good books. They have good things to say about this man. Each in their own right has tried to do something different. Derek Mannering's books are extraordinary. He also has put out a book which I very much wish were still available. It's a picture book, a storybook of Lanza, and the pictures are magnificent. If you can ever find it, and we'll talk about that with Derek in these next couple of hours, grab a copy of it, because there's one thing about Lanza and his passion, whether it be on the screen or even the still camera. His face never looked the same twice. And I say that in all positive modality. His face was a fluid mask of emotion. His inner self came across that face and projected through his, well, if you see him on the screen, you'll understand. through his screen performances, the likes of which I have never seen. I had the pleasure once of seeing the great Caruso in a revival theater on the big screen. The place was packed, literally standing room only. This wasn't all that many years ago. And every time a song was sung in that film, there was either a standing ovation or a roar and an ovation. The people just couldn't believe it. And to see this man and hear that voice in a theater was, I don't know how to explain it. It was overwhelming. That's the best word that comes to mind. It's something that just leaves you, in many ways, changed for the better for life. The inside of the dust jacket of Derek Mannering's wonderful biography, Mario Lanza, Singing to the Gods, and you can see that under his name. Hit reload if you haven't, and you can click on that and purchase the book if you'd like, and I would urge you to do so. Simply says, blessed, and this is an understatement, blessed, gifted, I don't know, with one of the greatest tenor voices of all time. I would go further than that. I would say this is simply the greatest singing instrument I have ever heard. And I think Derek probably agrees. Mario Lanza, years on this planet, 1921 to 1959, rose to spectacular heights in a film, recording, and concert career that spanned little more than a decade. That's all. 10 years, give it a round number. But the everlasting impression is unforgettable. Groomed at the outset for a career on the opera stage, Lanza instead flourished in Hollywood, where his films, most notably The Great Caruso, broke box office records the world over and influenced the careers of countless musicians. Certainly you all remember the three tenors, no longer three, of course, but there are two. All three of them cited Mario, and do to this day, as the inspiration for their careers in singing and in opera. And with that, I'm going to stop talking and say hello to my friend of many, many years, Derek Mannering. Hello, Derek. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Jeff, and thanks for that terrific introduction. I agree with just about everything you've said. So it's a great pleasure to be on your show, and happy birthday, Mario.
Happy birthday, Mario. You know, I want to tell you, I've used the expression life-changing experience on this program for people who have seen things, let's say, flying around overhead that they can't even believe should be up there, strange machines. They have seen other events in history that are life-changing. When you hear this man, and for those who can't hear what's going on, I've always felt sorry and wish that they could. When you hear this voice, what was put into the words and the expressions and the phrasing is one thing, and they were magnificent, spectacular. But the color in this voice, the coloration, I don't have the technical terms to describe it. Derek can help me out here. But the actual voice itself is so stunning that you just can't believe it. And after a while, a lot of people kind of take it for granted. But when you listen to some of the selections we will be playing this evening, listen to the way he speaks the truth of the words through his singing. He is not just singing lyrics. He is living them. And this isn't some cornball overacting. This is who he was. He had a gift, capital G, that you will hear a number of examples of tonight, and I hope that will encourage you to explore more. If you're new to this, if you are listening in and you're a member of my forum or the other forums out there, welcome. And it's always wonderful to be able to devote worldwide radio time. And we are heard all over the world on this program, on this network. And I know there are people listening in Europe and in India, Malaysia, and all. We get letters from everywhere. And for all of you, many of you already know about Lanza and have been listening most of your lives. In 1967, 8 years after he passed, he was the number one film star in the Soviet Union. Now, figure that one out. I would hazard to say that, in fact, I would dare say that in another 50 years, there will still be just as much interest in this voice as there is now, And I can't say the same about any other tenor I know, except for perhaps Enrico Caruso. But that's another story. Derek, tell us more about this. How did you get involved with The Voice?
Well, just to quickly follow up on the point you made there about the coloration of Mario's voice, his conductor and accompanist, Konstantin Kalinikos, summed it up well. He commented on the flexibility of shadings in Mario's voice. Not the most eloquent way of putting it, but really terrifically accurate. There was amazing flexibility of shadings and colorings in his voice, and we'll hear that, some pretty good examples of that in the songs we've chosen for tonight. As to how I discovered him, well, go back in time to Dublin, Ireland, and I'm sitting in a little movie theater close to where I lived with my grandmother, and she's taking me to see The Great Caruso. And I had epiphany.
You were a youngster.
We're sitting there, and we're listening to this man singing arias like Vesti la Giuva or Celeste Ida. Arias, we have no idea what he's singing about, but we know we're pulled in by the magic of this voice.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and it was actually the Celeste Ida scene, because I can vividly remember it. And I'm getting these goosebumps down my back, and I'm thinking, what's happening here? And of course, that was my introduction, not just to Mario, but the classical music. And that was such a gift. And then, of course, I went to see the student prince. I bought the records, and never guessing that, you know, half century later, that I'd be so closely involved with the legacy, especially with the CDs.
Yeah.
And may I just say, I have to do this to give a little plug.
No breaks, Todd. Thank you.
As you know, Jeff, I work very closely with Mario's record company, Sony, to compile and promote the CDs. And for people who are new to Mario, there's a brand new double CD that just came out called Mario Lanza, The Toast of Hollywood. And I put a lot of thought into compiling this. It's specifically aimed at the Hollywood years. But it's a wonderful introduction. If you're new to Mario Lanza, and we'll hear some tracks from it tonight, it's a wonderful introduction to what made him such an incredible sensation during those golden years.
It's one thing to say the voice had color and shadings. My brother summed it up, I think, in a very unique way. He said it was essentially the northern lights in a throat.
Yeah, it's a famous quote, that. Very, very good.
That's Brother Rip, and I think he really did catch a lot of it with that.
It's a cliche almost to say it, you know, that Mario lived the song, but at his frequent best, not always, but at his frequent best, that's exactly what he did. I think I wrote once that, you know, when you listen to Mario, you know, he soothes the brokenhearted and he helped you fall in love. The voice did everything. And it was an extraordinary instrument. And I have to say, too, for me, an enormous, enormous privilege to be so closely associated with that great legacy.
When I was young, I used to hear him. My grandparents would play him the Student Prince album, most notably, as a youngster. And I would sit there in the living room, often alone. They would be in another part of the house, listening to this voice, wondering how someone, and I was just a kid, could make and create such emotion and power. We do know about the power, 50-inch chest, break glass, literally. Was it George London's son who was in the house when George London and Mario would rehearse? He said when Mario would open up the voice, he said the walls would shake.
Yeah.
That's how big.
Well, a cute story. Mario's niece, not many people know this, but his niece was the movie star Dolores Hart, who at the height of her career, she gave Elvis Presley his first kiss in the movies. And Dolores, at the height of her career, found religion and God, and she became a nun. And in fact, 2 years ago, a documentary on her life was nominated for an Oscar. And I spent a wonderful day with Mario's family, Lisa, his daughter, and her family, with Mother Dolores. And we were chatting over lunch, and she told me a lovely story. She said her family came from Chicago that Betty's family, Mario's wife's family, came from Chicago, where I live. And Mother Dolores said that, you know, when Mario would come to visit, her grandmother would whisper in Dolores' ear and say, please tell Mario not to sing. And I looked at her, and she smiled. I said, why would she not want Mario Lanza to sing? She said, well, because his voice was so powerful that when he sang, all her fine china in the cabinets would rattle. And she was terribly afraid that the china would break. But it was an extraordinary, extraordinary sound.
He could, as you said earlier, sing it all. He could do everything. And in many ways, he could do it better than anyone else. And so many of his recordings, of whether they be popular songs or operetta, it doesn't matter, so many were definitive. They just can't be bettered.
Yeah,
they were,
I agree.
They were at the height. They were at their absolute perfect.
Have you ever heard a tenor, and there are many great tenors, have you ever heard a tenor even come close to matching him on Be My Love?
No.
I mean, not even close.
No, and there have been so many imitations. I guess tributes rather than imitations, but no, there's no one in the same building with him. It's not there.
It's a terrible cliche to say this, but you can't avoid it. It's magic. It's pure magic. There's magic in the voice, and the great singers have it. Nat King Cole had it, Sinatra had it, and Mario had it to the power of 10. Something in the voice that just touches your soul at its best, and that's what Mario did. And I have to say, Jeff, you know, for all the work that I do for Mario's legacy, especially on the CDs, I never tire of hearing him. I never say, okay, that's enough. I don't listen to him every day, but I never lose the thrill of the great recordings. They thrill me just as much today as they did when I was in my teens. And that's great singing.
That's really unprecedented. I still get occasional goosebumps if I put a song on I haven't heard for a while, and I just listen and I start laughing. I don't want to admit this.
Uh-huh.
I start laughing. I say, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. No one should be able to do that.
Yeah.
It's just not possible.
Right.
And he did it. And
it
was sincere. He gave everything he had to every song he sang, and we all know the famous quotation about that, so I won't belabor it, but he did admit that he sang every song as if it was the last thing he was going to do on this planet.
Sure.
And you can hear it. He not only sang loudly, enormously, beautifully, like a cascade of the most brilliant mind colors that you can even imagine, but he could sing amazingly softly and with the most touching of innocence and feeling and gentleness, caressing each little word and note. And I am not a music expert. I'm just speaking from my own personal experience.
Right, but you know what you like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, what I'd like to do is we're going to play a song that it's My Romance. And it's he recorded it a couple of different ways. One was rather a hard version with lots of energy, full and intense. And another one was rather soft.
Right.
And we're going to play the soft one, and I want you to listen to what you're going to be. You're going to be taken on a tapestry, on a trip, a voyage of sound. So listen and enjoy My Romance.
My Romance doesn't have to have a moon in the sky. My romance doesn't need a blue lagoon standing by. No month of May, no twin stars. No hide away, no soft guitars. My romance doesn't need a castle rising in Spain, nor a dance to a constantly surprising refrain. Wide awake, I can make dance to a constantly surprising refrain. Wide awake, I can make my most fantastic dreams come true. My romance doesn't
I think you heard the ending, how soft, how he could transition so effortlessly. And the songs, of course, on the CD continue, but that was one example that I think showcased a lot of his different kinds of... He made it sound so effortless, Derek. It wasn't something he had to muscle up to or push or strain. It just flowed. He knew instinctively, intuitively, how to make lyrics come alive.
Exactly. And you cannot teach someone how to sing like that. It has to be an innate thing. It has to be something that makes you a great and unique singer. We often talk about, you know, Mario is able effortlessly to transition from that to opera, to operetta, to the pop songs of the day, and he did it all effortlessly, and it's just a unique gift, and it's the one thing, or it's the thing, as it were, that sets him apart from every other classically trained tenor that I have ever heard or ever will hear, because I don't think anybody else could do it the way he did, and it's what secures his legacy, and it's, I agree, it's an absolutely beautiful, beautiful recording. And it's on the new Toast of Hollywood CD, too. And, of course, on one of yours as well.
Okay, thank you. And we'll take a break and come right back with Derek Mannering. Happy birthday, Mario Lanza, tonight, January 31st, the year 2014. Okay, and we're back talking to Derek Mannering, author of Mario Lanza, Singing to the Gods, which was also the name, title of the BBC documentary, was it not?
That's correct. Some people think I actually wrote the BBC documentary. I didn't. Mark Cadell, the producer, just liked the title of my book, and he called me when he was cutting it, and he says, I've been trying to think of titles, and he says, I keep coming back to your book. He says, would you mind if I used it for the show? And I said, no, of course not, not at all. I was delighted, in fact.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
So, you can watch the documentary, by the way. It's included as part of the two movie DVD, That Midnight Kiss and The Toast to New Orleans. It's an extra on that.
Okay.
And well worth watching.
Yeah, that's available on Amazon.com.
And, of course, it opens with Mr. Jeff Rentz, too.
I was so surprised he put me in. I was just talking in the car, and I was able to get him to come up here to the Northwest, where Mario's second manager was, Al Teitelbaum, and Al figures prominently in the documentary. There is so much to this story, and it's. Let me say hello to you, Lisa. I'm glad you're doing so well, and it's been wonderful knowing you all these years. There are some really special people that are still around, and we must mention Terry Robinson.
Yeah, actually, I heard from Terry's wonderful lady, Sylvia, today. She called me just to make sure I wasn't sort of frozen to the ground here in Chicago. And I mentioned to her that I was going to be on the show tonight, and she asked me to send you her love and Terry's love.
Oh, nice.
So,
thank you.
They know you well and remember you with great, great fondness. So
well,
I'm going to do that,
thank you.
And you just introduced Terry's name. And may I just, if I can, may I give a special mention to Lisa. You know, my good friend David Weaver reminded me that 5 years ago today, he and I were in Fresno for the Grand Opera Tribute to Mario.
Uh-huh.
It was the first time David met Lisa and Bobby and their Tony and Nick, their children. And the concert was complete sellout. And when the host announced Lisa was in the audience, the crowd absolutely went wild. And then at the intermission and after the show, everyone flocked to her. And the exact same thing happened in Ireland, my hometown, where we had a series of concerts.
Mm-hmm.
I attended two of them with her on different years. The concerts had been sellouts for like 5 years. And she flew over there twice. And the reaction to when they knew she was in the audience, and then the crowds of people who waited afterwards to greet her and tell her how much her father's singing touched their lives, was extraordinary. She is, without a question, an incredible ambassador for his for Mario's legacy. He and Betty must be so, so proud of what she's done in his name.
Well, no doubt about that. I would also say that Mario Lanza's voice, and I use this story. This really illustrates it for some people. There are a lot of people who are living alone, who take such comfort and solace and inspiration from hearing the sound of the voice that it in some cases actually keeps them alive. I had a psychiatrist friend in Santa Barbara, and we got to talking, and he was a fan. He said, you'll never believe this one. He says, I've got one client, a patient. She's 80, I think he's 87 at the time. He said, the only reason she's still alive is sheer force of will so she can hear the Lanza voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an overstatement.
No.
That's the truth.
Yeah, when I can, if I attend the British Mario Lanza Society gathering in England, and I know Bill Renane does it for the Lanza Ball here and other get-togethers.
Yes, hello to Bill too, and thank you, Bill,
indeed,
for all that you do. Yeah,
indeed, he does wonderful work. And when you meet people at these gatherings, you see how much Mario is a part of their lives. And can I just say too, while I'm on this subject, I don't want to get on my soapbox here, but You have, you know, some of what I call the uber fans, you know, the fans who are beyond fans. And, you know, they nitpick over Mario's singing of this aria or this song. And let me just tell you that the vast majority of people, they don't care if he's a little sharp or he's a little on the note or over the note or, you know, out of sorts. They hear them the way they hear them. And if it touches their soul, that's enough. I never, ever waste time.
What greater gift? How more perfect could something be sung,
right,
wherein it touches someone at their deepest point of inner depth than that? It's just...
Absolutely. And we all hear the songs differently. I mean, you know, there are things I like that someone else doesn't. There are some things that I don't like and people swoon over. And that's the way it should be. It's an incredible palette of recordings and styles and singing throughout, again, just as you mentioned, 10-year career. And there's something for everyone in the land of the catalog, and there always will be.
I'm still amazed when I listen carefully, and a lot of people, you have to kind of train yourself to listen to the vocal nuances and colorations and little stylistic things that he does so effortlessly that they sound like... You kind of come away, well, that's how it's supposed to be sung. Everybody does it that way. But then if you hear someone else sing it, my God, it's like it's been stripped of everything. It's just bare bones, I'm singing these words, rather than a masterpiece of interpretation. And just, he gave so much. He was a giving person anyhow, but he just gave of his innermost being in these songs. Now, here is they call him a crossover artist, and that means he could sing opera and popular just as well. So we're going to pick one up now from the new Twin, the Toast of Hollywood CD. You want to introduce it for us?
Indeed. Can I just tell you a little quick story before we play it? My original, when I was compiling this CD, Turner Classic Movies, TCM, got in touch with Sony. And they said, look, we want to put together a CD that represents the land of the golden years at Hollywood. And then Turner then eventually had a tie-in evening of Mario's movie. So I was tasked with putting together this CD that represented, if you will, the golden years in Hollywood. And as always, when you get a chance to get into the vault and look for rare recordings, I wanted to look for things that hadn't been originally on CD. And one of the tracks that I was hoping to have on the CD was his third recording of La Stila Juba for RCA. It's not a perfect recording, and I can see why they passed on it at the time. He gets a little out of sync once or twice with the orchestra, although he covers it very quickly. But it's a thrilling, willing, knock-your-socks-off recording and performance.
Really?
The best, I think, of the three.
Really?
But
oh.
In the time that we had to produce the CD, they couldn't track it down. I had a rough copy of it, but it wasn't good enough. So I had to choose something instead. And there are a number of arias on the CD, and I was going to close disc one with Vestibule Juva. Instead, I chose to close it with the one we're going to hear now, the El Uccello Nelle Stelle from Tosca. And it was a favorite of Mario. He sang it on almost all of his concerts. And this is an impeccably beautiful performance and recording for RCA with his dear friend Costa Kalinico conducting, and it shows you everything that Lanza could have been as an opera singer had he chosen that career. So let's listen to Eloce Van Estelle from Tosca.
Le stelle e dolezzava la terra,
stride all'uscio dell'orto. E un passo sfiorava l'arena, entrava ella fragrante. Cadea fra le braccia, oh, oh, e ci bacia languide carezze, mentre io fra
Okay, and that was a standard sung many times throughout his public career, and even before that.
You know, Kostakalinikos made a very good observation. He said he always admired the arias that Mario sang because he wasn't drawing from the experience of singing them in as part of the role on stage. He never sang Tosca on stage. In fact, the only professional performance he gave was as Pinkerton and Madonna Butterfly, and that was before he became an international celebrity. But he had this great instinct for opera, and it comes out in almost every operatic aria that he sang, and that is absolutely one of the best. You know, I mentioned David Weaver. I was exchanging some thoughts today with David and indeed our good friend Roland Bessette, and David made a very, sent me some interesting stats here. I'll read them out to you today. He says, according to the box office, the website Box Office Champions, the Great Caruso sold 17,098,000 tickets on its release in 1951. If Mario had sung to that many people at the Met, he'd have needed to give 4,717 sold-out performances. Again, when people say, oh, why didn't he become an opera singer? Well, he didn't become an opera singer because he didn't want it badly enough.
Mm-hmm.
But he also realized that by singing arias like Eluceva Mastella in The Great Caruso, and, of course, on the album The Great Caruso, which became one of the first all arias albums to sell over a million copies, he was reaching an incredible audience. And that was his gift, and that was his path, his journey.
Well, he reached an infinite number of people that he never could have reached had he restricted himself to the opera houses. That's just a fact.
Right.
It's the real simple fact. Okay, now, we're going to play something next that is considered by many, yours truly, to be, as well, to be probably the most perfectly written set of lyrics for a romantic love song there couldn't be a better example. Let me just put it that way. Give us a little intro to this.
Now, which one are we talking about?
Serenade.
Oh, the third, yeah. Well, I think it goes without saying that Mario's most famous recording, most famous body work, if you will, is the soundtrack from The Student Prince. And most of the recordings, in fact, all the solo recordings of that were done in single takes. It's extraordinary. And it became one of the very, it was his first album to sell over a million copies, and it was one of the first movie soundtracks ever to sell a million copies. And it was also, if I may say first here, it was the first album I ever bought of Mario Lanza, and it's as fresh and as beautiful and as note-perfect today as it was when I bought it. It was just, the singing was simply inspired, and he's able to do something with these beautiful, beautiful songs. He's able to give you the full romance. You can't sell that word short. The romance of The Student Prince. A lot of singers will sing it technically well. They'll place all the notes in the right places, and it the melody comes through, and it's very nice. And but Mario brings the absolute sweetness and the romance, and you know. Doubt for a second when you hear him singing Overhead the Moon is Beaming that this is a man in love singing to the woman he loves. And again, what we're talking about here is great, great singing.
We're also talking about someone who actually sang somehow. Many people listening have always told him, it feels like he's singing to me.
Yes, absolutely.
There is an intimacy there that you just can't quantify.
Yep.
And except to say that, especially women absolutely adored this song because they imagined it being sung to them.
And also as a guy, too, if you can relate it to feelings you have for someone in your life, too. So it actually works both ways, too.
Very well said, yeah.
It's gorgeous.
All right, here it is. The Student Prince, The Serenade.
Overhead the moon is beaming, white as blossoms on the bough. Nothing is heard but the song of a bird, filling all the air with dreaming. Could I hear this song forever, calling to my heart anew, my darling? Voice in the wind that stirs the willows. I see your face in the stars that shine above.
Hold me closer tonight, we love.
The willows bending, the stars that shine, the shore lights blending. They're yours and mine. Drifting along in my heart, there's a song, and the song in my heart will not fade. But hear my serenade, my moonlight serenade. Beaming, white as blood.
blossoms on the bough. Nothing is heard but the song of a bird, filling all the air with dreaming. Could this beauty last forever? I would ask for nothing more.
Absolute perfection. It just does not get any better.
No, it really doesn't. And I always avoid the word masterpiece because it's so overworked and overused. But if there's a single body of work that can be deemed Lanz's masterpiece, it is The Student Prince, because it's from every track, every single track, from start to finish, is pure gold.
I agree.
That is one of the really great recordings.
Okay, stand by. We have to take our top of the hour break. We'll be right back. Derek Mannering is our guest this first couple of hours. Derek Mannering's book is Mario Lanza, Singing to the Gods. You can get a link to that. Hop right to Amazon under his name and guests at rents.com, and I hope you'll do that. It's a wonderful read, and we will be back with another hour. So stay tuned on Mario Lanza's birthday, the year 2014. Okay, and welcome back. It is a birthday tribute to Mario Lanza tonight on January the 31st, 2014. And I want to mention also, I was going to in the first hour, but you mentioned him several times, David Weaver. And I want to thank you, David, for all the wonderful work you do overseeing the Mario Lanza Forum. And I couldn't have anyone better there. We've had some wonderful people in the past. David is just marvelous. And we have some just terrific people involved with this. It amazes me how good some of the comments are, how interesting. And it just shows, again, the timelessness of the Lanza legend. It just doesn't go away.
It does. And when you mentioned David, I want to just give you're not expecting this, but let me give a quick plug, because he's also a wonderful writer. In fact, we have a trio, David Weaver, Roland Bassett, and myself. And, David has written a wonderful book, definitive biography, on soprano Ruby Elvey. And if you go to Amazon.com, type Ruby Elvey, or E-L-V-Y, and or David Weaver, you'll find the book, and it is absolutely superb. And I believe Roland has a new book coming out, too. Nothing musical, but again, Roland Bassett book came up, too. And these are people that we all met and through this wonderful singer, Mario Lanza.
Okay. Our next selection from our group of 10 or so we're going to play is, and it's a standard. It's some people would call it a war horse, whatever. It's a Neapolitan song. Tell us about Mattinata.
Well, Mattinata, again, as a young boy growing up in Ireland, the first time I heard this was in The Great Caruso.
Yeah.
Where he sings it a cappella. There's no music. He just stands on the sort of horse and buggy and sings it outside the opera house.
Was he lip-syncing that?
I think, I'd have to go back and have a look at it. Most of the songs sung in movies are lip-synced.
I'm not sure about that one.
But that... Yeah, it's a good question. You caught me on the hop there. I know there are lots of experts out there who know could answer that in the, you know, snap of your fingers. I'm not sure, but he recorded it for RCA. It's one of those famous one-take recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just glorious. I just love the youthful joy and dazzling top notes in this song. And I wanted to choose a few songs that are not directly linked to Lanza. I know the Serenade is, and to some extent the Lucia Mastelli.
Yeah.
But just a few little outside the norm. And this is one I thought would be just well worth hearing again. Matinale.
Very good. Okay, here we go. Hard to top an ending like that.
It sure is. Can you imagine seeing that like that in the concert hall? Every single person in attendance would be on their feet cheering.
Well, they were when I watched the film. I mean, that the concert hall. No,
yeah, and again, it's a close link with Caruso. It was written by Leoncavallo, Pagliacci fame, for Caruso. And I think Lanza does it proud. It's just a joyous recording, and I thought it would be nice to sort of throw it into the mix.
Okay. Speaking of mix, we're going to change gears from a Neapolitan classic to an American classic now. And
absolutely.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, You and the Night and the Music, a great standard. And I chose this because it's not closely associated with Mario Lanza, but it touches on a lot of the points that we've discussed here and talked about, how he's able to go, the different shadings, the different moods. For example, there's a part of the song where he's very much the tenor, until the pale light of dawning and daylight, our hearts will be throbbing guitars, pure tenor. And then he switches with the lyric, and, you know, morning will come without warning and take away the stars. And you can tell that as he's singing it, that his heart is breaking. And it's just gorgeous. It's just very romantic. And I know the purists hate to say this, but it's a very sexy performance, too. And if I may, too, just before we hear it, it's often pointed out to me that I choose a lot of recordings that he did for his radio show, of which this is one of them.
Yeah.
And that, there are a number of reasons for that, but for one thing, his voice was at its absolute best, I think, during that period. But also because the show featured him singing many, many great standards, of which this is one. And a lot of the material, or some of the material, still hasn't been released. So it's a great treasure trove to go in and find some of these jewels. And this one is featured on an album I did called My Romance. We heard another version of that song at the beginning of the show. But again, listen to the way he gets completely involved with the lyrics, You and the Night and the Music.
You and the night and the music fill me with flaming desire, setting my being completely on fire. The night and the music thrill me, but will we be one? After the night and the music are done, until the stars. If we must live for the moment, love till the moment is through. After the night and the music dies, live for the moment, love till the moment is through. After the night and the music,
again, a definitive recording. Just
the big finish. I mean, you hear sometimes people say, well, why does he always go for the big finish? Well, guys, he's a tenor, you know, and tenors tend to do that. But it's never or very seldom at the expense of the intimacy and the mood. And again, I chose it because it's not associated with Mario Lanza, but it's typical of the sort of excitement that he brought to his radio show each week. And the conductor, as you know, was Ray Sinatra, who Frank's second cousin. It's just a terrific piece of thing. I really enjoy that.
All of this is covered in Derek Mannering's book, Mario Lanza, Singing to the Gods. It's a great read, and I hope you'll take a chance and take my word for it and buy the book. You will love it. It's a fascinating story. And in a way, we won't get into this, but it's a truly modern Shakespearean tragedy, the life of Mario Lanza.
I agree.
Just summed up as well as I can. I actually run out of words, Derek, trying to describe adequately what I'm hearing. And I just can't do it sometimes. There are just not enough words.
Well, sometimes I think you just let the music
speak
for itself.
It does.
And we've said this many times before. If you don't hear Lanza, if you don't, and lots of people don't get him, you know, people, I mean, if you love, for example, Josip Jurelic, who I don't think, if he tried to make a bad recording, he couldn't do it. I mean, the man was just an absolutely gloriously beautiful, beautifully, technically perfect singer. Now, if you love that style of singing, you're going to find problems with Mario. I mean, the big finish, sometimes the overmote, and that's okay. It would be a very dull, boring world if all we did was love Mario Lanza and Mario Lanza only. There's something for everyone in music, and with Mario, it's a special something, and that's what we celebrate, and that's why I've written so many books about him, and why, as I said before, it's a great, great privilege to be associated with his recorded legacy.
Well, I feel the same way. It's an honor to be able to do what I've done. And when I was young, I don't know what it was, but I always felt a special link somehow to this. And as I grew older, I got to know the children and Terry and you and others. And it was just something that was supposed to be, I guess.
Exactly.
Here we are.
Now,
we can go on next now to something that I think is going to just amaze some of you. Opera is known for drama. Now, this aria we're going to play is, well, you tell them, Derek.
Well, it's an aria that Mario, especially on his final tour, opened his concerts with at the Lamento di Federico. And I've never heard a bad performance of it from Mario. He was just born to sing the aria. And until I heard this particular version, I would have no hesitation in saying that the one to listen to is from the Serenade soundtrack. It's a glorious, glorious piece of singing. So moving, in fact, that it reduced one of the musicians in the orchestra to tears. I mean, that's a true story. He was so moved by Lanza's singing. Now, it probably sounds strange to say it, and this is purely my own preference. If you love that version, you know, love it. But this version we're going to hear was recorded for his radio show. And it turned up in an album I compiled or produced for BMG, I think back in 1999. And it was when Barnes & Noble had their reviewer graded on the website. You can still read it today. And the reviewer, his name is Benjamin Ivory, referred to the Lamento as heartbreakingly autobiographical singing. And that sums it up. He sings with his soul on this. It's just a glorious piece.
Okay, here we are.
È la solida storia del pastore.
il povero ragazzo voleva raccontarla. Sonno l'oblio come l'invidio. Anch'io vorrei dormire così, nel sonno almen lo via trovar. La pace sol cercan di avor, vorrei aver tutto scor.
I don't know how to even react to it. I've seen it in the movie, and I've heard it, and it just doesn't get any better.
No, it really doesn't. Imagine turning on your radio each week and hearing that just on the show.
What really tears me up is, of course, the tragedy that ensued at the very pinnacle of his prowess. And I know there are others who have other views, and that's fine, but if it weren't for Dorie Sherry and his power trip, we would have had years more of this kind of singing. Years more. How many more, we don't know. But years more, to be sure.
Yeah.
I know Al Teitelbaum told me when Mario had walked out of the filming of The Student Prince after recording the flawlessly spectacular soundtrack, that Al went over to his house when they were trying to get him to go back and do the film, but he didn't like the director. There were real problems, as some of you know. And Al was at the front door, and Mario came to the front door, and Mario kind of stepped half outside and, according to Al, said, "Al, what should I do? What should I do? Should I go back? What should I do? These people are all telling me inside that I'm bigger than MGM, that they need me more than I need them, and And Al looked over his shoulder at these hangers-on, and he said, "The first thing, Mario, is you throw those sons of bitches out of your house immediately." And they were giving him bad advice. And it was, again, you talk about Shakespeare, and this is the modern Shakespearean tragedy. But we have what we have, and we have something that is a golden legacy of unmatched vocal brilliance.
Yeah. We do, right from the start and to the very end. And there, you know, there were some missteps, recording vocal missteps along the way, but even those, I mean, I know people, Lambs and Broadway, for example, was a low point, but I know people who love some of the tracks.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's part of the legacy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, let's take our bottom of the hour break. We have some more examples of this remarkable talent coming up in just a few minutes. Okay, and we're back. Derek Manninger is our special guest. Derek's book, again, is Mario Lanza, Singing to the Gods, and it's marvelous. There are many books out there on this, and I really wish they would reprint your photo book, and I know you have special feelings for that one. That was amazing.
And I would like it to be reprinted because most of the photographs came from Terry Robinson's collection. And an amazing collection of photographs. And he has some more photos that if I ever did get a reprint, I would, you know, would add those as an extra batch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll happen. We'll see. But thank you for those very kind words about my books. And I do appreciate that very much.
Okay, my friend. Let's go on to the next example of something that is so intimately and beautifully spoken. These are again definitive readings, and I don't even imagine anyone else singing this song.
No, especially this one. I'm going to give a little shout out here because we have a dear Lanza friend who posts a lot on your site, Sam Simulia, and Sam has not been terribly well of late. And I was looking up this song, "Trees," set to music, a poem by Joyce Kilmer. Set to music and magnificently sung by Mario, and it was on a CD that I worked on in 1995 with Clive Smith called "You'll Never Walk Alone." And Sam reviewed it on Amazon.com, and I was looking at what his comments. He went through track for track, and this is what he said of "Trees." He said, "I would play this for anyone. I would want to hear Mario's voice for the first time. Popular songs don't get much better treatment than this recording. We are privileged to have it." Now, I couldn't say it any better than that, so
true.
Let's leave it at that and listen to Mario Lanza singing.
Let me tag on that Sam Simulian has been a friend of mine for many years, as he has yours, and a dear, dear friend and a great, terrific human being and Lanza fan, and I hope he's doing well.
Yeah. I hope so, too. I second that. He's a lovely, lovely guy, and his wife, too, a great lady.
True. All true. Okay, and one other name that we just mentioned that I was going to mention as well, and that's my friend of 25, 30 years, Clive Smith.
Yeah.
Who has contributed many things to many people. Clive is a remarkable resource. And for all of you who we don't mention, you are mentioned on the spiritual plane. We appreciate all of you.
We certainly do.
Okay, here is... "Trees," a poem written by Joyce Kilmer and set to music. How about this?
I think that I shall never see lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing. Robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain, homes are made by fools like me.
Imagine that song better, isn't it?
Well, it can't be. It's this simple. And I also must congratulate Ray Sinatra. It's a perfect arrangement. Beautiful, as Mario would say, musical landscape for the singing.
Yeah, you know, people are often said, well, why didn't Mario work with, you know, better conductor? Poor Costa Domenico comes in for a lot of flack. But you know something, working with these people, they've made recordings that will, 100 years from now, when we're all dust and gone and forgotten, people will still listen to them and marvel at them. So Mario's legacy is pretty fantastic. He didn't need better than the people he had around him. They made these timeless, great recordings.
I must say that any criticism of Constantine Kalinikos is bizarre. That man successfully worked with one of the most emotionally explosive and temperamental at times and gifted talents in history. And
it was always, always there for him.
Yes.
Through the good times and through the not so good times.
Yeah.
So he is nothing but my respect and highest regard. And he's an unsung hero in Lanza's career.
I concur.
To be remembered.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, our next selection coming up is something entitled All the Things You Are. Now, this
very
is
a very famous song,
very
three
famous
recordings, as far as I know, that Mario made, but this is the one. This is the killer version. It's an outtake from Because You're Mine, the movie. He recorded it for the movie, and they didn't use it. And it's just one of those little, quietly perfect recordings. Again, you hear the push of the tenor voice and then coming down softly. And again, if you listen, I don't want to sound too much like a fanboy here, but if you listen at the very, very end, when all the things you are, big note, are mine, and it's very soft and the piano brings it to a close, it's just gorgeous, All the Things You Are.
You are the promised kiss of springtime that makes the lonely winter seem long. You are
of a lovely song. You are the angel glow that lights a star. The dearest things I know divine, when all the things you are mine. You are the angel glow that lights a star. The dearest things I know. Someday I'll know that moment divine when all the things you
singing does not get better than that.
Well, there's not a heart out there of the female gender that couldn't be melted by that one.
And if they're not melted, then...
They're not alive. They're not room temperature or below.
That's true. Just a beautiful, beautiful recording. And it's a pity they didn't use it in the movie, but at least we have it on disc. And that's
the Rhino release.
Yes.
Okay, now we're going to move to later in his career, and at times, well, his voice changed. Mario changed. The youthful exuberance wasn't the same. He became a more mature, heavier sound, and yet he would get up almost like a great fighter. He would get up out of often extreme adversity and sing magnificently, defying those who would say that, nah, he can't pull it off anymore. And he did, right up to the very, very end. He never lost the talent.
No, he didn't. It's true that between 1955 and 59, like when he came back from the wilderness year, his voice was different. It was much darker, and there was an inconsistency, if you will, in the way he sang throughout those years. You never really knew what sort of tenor was going to turn up, either the very dark, heavy tenor of Lanz on Broadway, or just weeks later, the fresh voice of the Cavalcade of Show Tune. And the final year especially, the work was rather somber. His health was not great. His top notes on a lot of the recordings were pretty strained. But this recording we're going to hear, Passione, from the Mario album, to me, and again, it's just my selection, my opinion, to me, this is the last great Lanza, and I put that in quotes, the last great Lanza recording he made in the final year. It just has all the passion and the excitement and the warmth and the glorious top notes at its best. It's just a great, great, great recording.
Okay, and he does take a rather complicated series of melody lines and works them all to their optimum best. And
everything works in the recording.
Yeah, it does. All right, here we go. This is a Neapolitan song.
più lontana mi stai, più vicina ti sento, chissà che sto momento tua che pienso che fai. Tu me misi in vena nuvolena che dose, non me pesa sta croce che trascina per te. Ti voglio, ti penso, ti chiamo, ti vega, ti sento, ti sonno, e non ci penso che innanno a stocchio non bonno più pace trovare. Cammina, ma non s'accendo vago, ti sto sempre imbriaco e non bevo mai vino. Oggi va se mi passa sta freva, cuore bello la do. Te voglio, te penso, te chiamo, te vega, te sento, te sonno.
Recording of that song ever, in my humble opinion.
I'm really not familiar with it, but I can well imagine what you're saying to be absolutely correct.
Yeah, glorious.
Yeah.
And it showed that almost at the very end, and there were some wonderful recordings in this final year, but almost at the very end, he was capable of just blowing you away. It was just a once-in-a-lifetime voice.
Clyde told me once, he said, Lanza on his worst day was better than anyone else on the planet.
Yeah.
A little hyperbolistic, but
oh,
still.
Yeah, true. But again, you know, Clyde has paid his dues in celebrating Mario's legacy. And goodness knows, when I first came to Mario Lanza's legacy, I mean, we owe Clyde a great debt of gratitude for all the rare recordings he brought to light.
He helped me tremendously with my first. And we went into the vault and introduced me to Chick Krumpacker,
who produced that fabulous CD, I'll See You in My Dreams, that you did. One of the great landmark CDs, I might add.
Thank you very much for that.
Well, you did it on your own dime. You produced it, and the audio quality was absolutely stunning, and a great, great selection of songs, too. So that's one that people listening in should definitely add to their collection.
I was particularly happy to have been able to rescue a couple of songs that just weren't out there. Make Believe, we pulled out of the vault. And Buying Alone, which we didn't find until the last minute. I mean, you've got boxes and boxes of tapes, and Chick hung in there. I said, you've got to find Thine Alone.
Mm-hmm.
And he found it. And the tape itself was on its last legs, but boy, does it's a great piece. And those
and
are
I
on,
just want to say, yeah. just want to say very quickly that with the new CD, Toast of Hollywood, there were at least 5 songs that I wanted on that CD, and that we simply, you're given a limited amount of time to
time.
Go into the vault and find them.
Time.
And we
yeah.
just couldn't find them in time. And so if there's another time, then, you know, it could be back into the vault. But it's always, you know, people say, why didn't you put such and such a song on it? And the simple truth is we couldn't find them.
Yeah.
They're there, but where is another question.
Well, I saved my money. I spent a lot of money on that first one to get it done.
Well, you did, and it's absolutely magnificent. It's an album I play a lot, and again, your great choice of tracks, and the sound quality is absolutely stunning. And that's one of the great gifts of the Coca-Cola series. Although they were recorded for the radio show, they were done in studio, and the audio quality and the quality of the songs themselves was superb. And that's why it's a great go-to place for rare recordings.
Well, it would have been a throwaway for most singers, but he did it again as if it would be the last thing he ever did.
Yes, he did. I think we're going to close out with
one of your favorites and mine too.
Absolutely. And let me just say quickly, if I may, before we introduce it, one of the great gifts to me being involved with Mario Lanza's legacy is the amazing number of wonderful people that I've met throughout the world. I mean, if I just pull 3 off the top of my head, there's John Rice in Ireland, there's Pamela Latham in England, and there's Stephanie Walsinger in Germany. I mean, these are all people I got to know through Mario's legacy. Mm-hmm. They all love Mario. They do great work to promote his name. And it's like an abundance of gifts. Not only do we have this wonderful singer, but then we meet all these wonderful, wonderful people. And all the people we didn't mention tonight, but they know who they are.
I guess. Yeah, they certainly do. All right. This one is, incidentally, was Liberace's theme song, among other oddities. But it is a standard, a classic, and just delivered as only the great Lanza could.
I'll be seeing you.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. Children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon. But I'll be seeing
In everything that's light and gay, I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
And he meant it.
Yeah, as good as it gets.
Yeah. Derek, thank you so much for being here tonight. It's been a real pleasure to share these with you. We've been friends for a long time, and I'll put this program up on the site, the MarioLanza.net website as well, so it'll be there in perpetuity, and people can enjoy it. Thank you, my friend.
Jeff, and thank you so much, and I hope your listeners enjoyed a few lesser-known tracks of the great Mario Lanza.
Well, indeed they did. Thank you. Be well. Take care.
You too, Jeff. Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night. Derek Mannering, and his book, again, is Singing to the Gods. And the new CD is out. It is called The Toast of Hollywood, a double disc collection, and it is outstanding. Okay. We're going to take a break, and we will be back.